Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Euro Pratik Sales Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ayushi Gupta from MUFG Intime Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings conference call of Euro Pratik Sales Limited. To discuss this quarter's performance, we have from the management Mr. Pratik Singhvi, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Jay Singhvi, Executive Director and CFO, and Mr. Alpesh Sangoi, Finance Controller. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone, I am Pratik Singhvi here, the MD of the company Euro Pratik Sales Limited. Good morning and thank you all for joining us for the earnings conference call of our company to discuss Q3 and nine-month FY26 results. I hope you all had the opportunity to review our financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded to both the stock exchange and our company website. Let me begin by expressing my sincere gratitude to our investors, partners, stakeholders for the trust and confidence you have placed in Euro Pratik Sales Limited. On 23rd September 2025, we reached an important milestone as Euro Pratik entered the public market as a listed company. The successful completion of our IPO marks a significant step forward as we strengthen our position as one of India's leading players in innovative and decorative interior solutions. Before we move to the financial highlights of this quarter, let me take a moment to introduce our company to you. Euro Pratik Sales Limited, incorporated in 2010, has grown into one of India's leading sellers and marketers of decorative surface decorative product industry. We offer an eco-friendly, pre-finished, ready-to-use portfolio, product portfolio tailored to modern interior needs. As per the Technopak report, we are amongst the largest organized players in the new decorative wall panel segment, with a strong revenue share of 15.87%. Our fast fashion approach to wall panels and laminates is driven by continuous product innovation, rapid design cycles, and market-led development. Through our flagship brands, Euro Pratik and Gloryo, we offer a wide and continuously expanding portfolio spanning more than 30 product categories and over 3,000 designs. Our innovation pipeline remains strong, with nine new products currently under development, comprising over 308 new designs. Our in-house R&D team closely tracks emerging design trends and customer preferences, enabling us to introduce over 1,000 new designs every year. Over the last 4 years alone, we have launched 113 catalogs, averaging 2 new catalogs every single month, each featuring 50 to 60 fresh designs. This ensures that our offerings remain relevant and trend forward. In FY26, we continue to execute our fast fashion strategy by refreshing and expanding our product portfolio. During the quarter, we launched our economy series Camphor, Decolite, Artisan 3, Vintex under the Gloryo brand, along with Leatherlite range under Millennium Decor. These launches reflect our focus on design innovation, affordability, and speed to market. In 9 months FY26, decorative wall panels contributed around 66.5% of our revenue, decorative laminates accounted for 26.9%, and the remaining portion came from allied products such as interior films, adhesives, and other miscellaneous offerings, providing resilience and diversification to our business model. We operate on a fixed asset light model through long-term partnerships with more than 36 contract manufacturers across India, South Korea, China, United States, and other key international locations. This allows us to scale efficiently while managing strict quality standards. Our distribution network spans 188 in India, 2 in Nepal, 138 cities, 25 states, and 6 union territories. With nearly 1 184,162 square feet of operational warehouse located strategically across Bhiwandi, Chennai, Delhi, Bangalore. It enables efficient logistics and timely deliveries. Let me now briefly touch upon our industry landscape. The decorative interior industry is seeing strong momentum driven by rapid urbanization, rising disposable incomes, and growing preference for quick installation. According to the Technopak report, the decorative wall segment is expected to grow at a CAGR of 18% from FY24 to FY29. Similarly, the decorative laminate segment is projected to grow at a CAGR of 12%. There is a clear transition underway towards the organized segment across both categories. This shift aligns strongly with our strengths and positions us to effectively capture upcoming growth opportunities. Let me now move to our strategic acquisitions. Over the past 2 years, we have taken several strategic steps to strengthen and expand our platform. In the year 2024, we incorporated our subsidiary, Glorio Decor Private Limited, through which we acquired the business of Vogue Decor. We also acquired businesses of Millennium Decor, Europratik Laminate LLP, and secured a controlling interest in Europratik Index LLP. Further consolidating our presence in the surface decorative segment. Alongside domestic expansion, we have advanced our international growth strategy by entering new markets in United States and UAE. In 2025, we continued to build on this momentum and took a significant step forward integration of acquiring a 51% stake in Euro Veneer World, one of the South India's respected interior surface brands. This acquisition strengthens our entry into B2C retail segment, provides direct insights into end customer preferences. As we look ahead, we remain confident about the road before us. Strong industry tailwinds, a clear shift toward organized players, GST rationalization, rapid urbanization, and growing consumer preference for aesthetic and eco-friendly interior solutions creates a powerful environment for sustainable growth. With a fast fashion approach and a consistent pipeline of trendy globally inspired collections, Europratik is well positioned to capitalize on these opportunities. Now I would like to request our financial controller, Mr. Altesh Sangoi, to share highlights of our financial performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prateek. Good morning, friends, everyone. Let me walk you through the financial highlights for the quarter. Our revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 80.4 crore rupees compared to 75.1 crore rupees in Q3 FY25, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 7%. Operating EBITDA for the quarter was 34.6 crore, up from 27.4 crore in Q3 FY25, with an EBITDA margin at 43.1%, delivering a strong 26% year-on-year growth driven by our operating leverage. Profit after tax for the quarter came in at rupees 23.6 crores as compared to rupees 20.2 crores in the same period last year, marking a 17% year-on-year increase with a PAT margin stood at 29.4%. Moving to the 9-month period, our revenue from operations reached 241.5 crores as compared to 211.3 crores in the same period of the last year, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 14.3%. EBITDA for 9 months FY26 stood at ₹87.5 crores with the EBITDA margin of 36.2%. Tax for 9 months FY26 came in at ₹55.6 crores and the tax margin was 23%. Thank you. That concludes my remarks. We can now open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is with respect to the top line growth for the quarter. So, you know, when you look at your presentation and the industry slides that you've put, where the wall decorative panel growth rate is a bigger number. So if you could dissect the 7% growth, how do you look at that number for the quarter three? Are there any misses? And how do you look at the incremental growth coming up for, let's say, H2 and maybe next year? That would be very helpful in understanding just the revenue growth part. And obviously, you have done very good at margins, but, you know, revenue growth is what we wanted to understand.
Thank you, Pritesh. I'm Pratik here. There was, in the last quarter, quarter three, as you know, that there was some pollution restrictions in north part of the country that resulted a little bit of slip in the sales in the North India. But it was very well recovered from the South India sales, which we did almost 40% in our sales in the third quarter. Going forward, as the acquisition was done from 1st December, we will have a full 3 months in the current quarter. Also, now this quarter seems to be more promising, and we are confident that we can deliver both top line and bottom line growth in the fourth quarter onwards.
So, can you dissect the North India performance and the rest of India performance for quarter three? How much did rest of India grow, and how much the, or what was the impact from North India?
Appreciate this, Alpesh. So North India, as Pratik rightly said, the construction restrictions which was going on, that has did not result into the expected sales, which was the external factor. However, the South India grown really well. Industry has been projected to grow at 18% to 20%, and in Q3, even after post Diwali, there are couple of weeks which generally overall there is a low in the northern part of the India, and that has dissected the revenue growth in the northern part of India. But we are hopeful that lifting up the all this pollution ban, now we are hoping that this particular sales will come in the coming quarter, which was slightly halted in the Q3.
So combined H2, will you land up growing 20%? So whatever is it a lost sales in quarter three, or in your opinion, it's a postponed sales of quarter three to quarter four?
It is combined of both. There would be a shift of the sales from Q3 to Q4, more particularly in the northern part of the India. Most of the India is growing, giving us a sale at the same pace what we have projected. But of course, the northern sale what we have but unable to achieve in the Q3 will give the result in the Q4.
So it's a postponed sale.
Yes.
Can you just share one number? How much did North decline for you in quarter three, so that we can correlate with the math, that 25% of the business because of these restrictions decline, how much?
So, if you presentation, my sales has been around 4%, which
your voice is breaking in between.
Yeah. So if you see my presentation, then North India sales is contributing 22.4% in Q3. South India sales has grown up 42.2%. Had this construction ban was not there, we would anticipate this would be somewhere around 27-28% on the overall sales basis. Of course, the sales which has been compensated, which has not been generated from the North India, is being compensated by the southern part of the country. If you ask me, I can give you the broad range of close to 8 to 10% of the sales, which we generally expect from the North India, has not given us the sales, and this could be the postponement into the next quarter of FY26.
8 to 10% of the sales. So what is reported as 17% revenue growth would have actually been plus 17% basically.
See, I'm talking 8 to 10% of the North India sales.
Okay. Okay. So about 2.5. Okay, done. I'll come back if I have more questions. So H2, should it be your growth should be closer to what is your assessment of the industry, which is 18-20% growth? H2 put together should be that number, or that's an optimistic number?
No, because I think hopefully we should be there. To be honest, we are a bottom line driven company, and we will also focus on the top line. And for the bottom line, we are pretty confident to hopefully be there by H2.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Mehra from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this. So just to take the previous question ahead, so basically what we are seeing is, given the issue is not, there is a little bit of postponement of sales to Q4. So with that logic, basically if your growth is 18-20% at the industry level, and if you add the loss of sales in the current quarter, then the next quarter you should be growing top line by over 30%, right? So so can you explain what is the current trajectory that you're seeing in Q4, and whether this, you know, mathematics that you talk about, we can look forward to that in Q4?
Thank you, Atul. So we feel that, as you said, I think we are on the same growth trajectory, and I think 25% is the minimum that we are targeting for the Q4. Y-on-Y. Also, the sales in this quarter is picking up, and as Ms. Alpesh said, there is a little bit postponement of the North India, which is now almost streamlined, and that is the sales that we are planning for. We hope to achieve in the Q4.
I wanted to add one here, Atul. If you consider on an overall yearly basis, we have suffered a loss in the quarter one of FY26 because of the fire. Okay. But having said that, considering the loss of sales which has happened in quarter one of FY26, still we are hopeful that we will grow in terms of the sales as compared to the FY25 numbers.
Got it. And secondly, given you have the M&A consolidation also happening, so if you look at total growth for Q4, you have 25% plus organic growth, and then you also have the contribution coming from M&A, then the total sales growth can be upwards of 30%?
Atul, I want to commit at around 25%, and hopefully we'll be able to do much more than that.
Secondly, in terms of thought process on M&A going forward, if you can highlight, you know, you have obviously made an acquisition and this will get consolidated. It started to get consolidated already. But what is the medium-term thought process you have on M&A?
So, yeah, our intention is to, for maybe forward integration and similar premium products in the interior segment. And our talks are on with a few companies. Hopefully, we will have some positive news on that side as well.
Got it. And on more from a 2 to 3 year perspective in terms of growth, so given the industry is expected to grow at 18%, if you were to think about 3 year growth, what is the kind of growth that we can expect, say, from 3 years from now, organic?
I think we should be better than the industry average. I can't quote a number as of now, but we are hopeful to grow. In spite of the fire, if you see where the first quarter we had a lot of loss, this year still I think there is a growth of around 12 to 15% till for the 9 months. over the year, I think it should be better, and in the next 3 years, we are hopeful to do much better than the market growth.
All right. Thank you. I'll come back.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
So, I want to be indicated to go to meet for the Indian CEO of the Indian carrier.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the margin. We saw a very good improvement in the margin of around 600 bits. So if you can share some lever on that. And also, is this kind of margin sustainable, as you have given 25% growth guidance in Q4? So what kind of margins we are looking in Q4?
So if you see the history of the company, we are always a bottom line driven company. Asset line model and new innovative products where we work with handsome margins. It is not a one-off case. It's been consistent for over last 5 years, and we hope to continue to deliver the same way in the future as well.
So this 40% margin will also come in Q4.
I can't give a number, but hopefully we will be able to get good margins.
Okay.
That's been
a second.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Please.
Yeah, if you see the last 3-4 years, that is the figure that approximately we are working with.
Understood. And so my second question is on the ban you mentioned to one of my colleagues, that there was a ban in North. So that is that ban lifted?
Yeah. I think like 2 weeks back, now there are no restrictions. And they had a Grab 4 where the entire construction, interior, exterior was at a halt. Now it has been lifted and the business is now as usual.
Okay. And sir, one last clarification question. You mentioned 25% growth in Q4 is including the acquisition, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully it will be on our growth basis.
Okay, I'll get back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Love Gupta from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Gupta. Your voice is not clear.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to understand, who are your key competitors?
In the wall panel segment?
Yeah, in the wall panel and the floated panel segment.
Yeah, so in a, as per the Technopath report, we hold around 16% of the market share. Remaining market is like fragmented, regional. There are a lot of players, maybe hundreds of them, but they are small. They do 1 or 2, 3 products. We have a basket of more than 30 products and 3,000 SKUs. Also, this market is quite new. You can say it has been expanding from the year 2018-19. And post-COVID, it got really, this trend really caught up in the market because of quick installation. So, there are very small regional players which would be doing maybe 50, 60, 70 crores top line.
I
can add in terms of the competitors, there are the stick panels and there are these are the players who are you can classify as a competitor.
So do you consider Dabaria Polywood as your competitor?
Yeah, they are into manufacturing. I don't know their sales model. Maybe they are supplying to some importers or some channel partners. But they just have one of the products which we do. So as I said, we have 30 products, more than around 40 contract manufacturers. So So one product is similar to Dabaria. Remaining products, they are not doing.
Okay. And one second question would be, do you use other PVC profile fabricators at your distribution, in your distribution channel?
No, mainly our distribution channel are focused into wall panels. They stock our products and they supply to their dealers and architects contractors.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Rudi Vora from SAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my question is that the distributor count has grown from 97 in FY23 to approx 190 by December 2025. So like, what is your target for FY27 and how do you plan to sustain this pace?
You mean the number of distributors?
Yeah.
Yeah, so our internal target is to grow at least 12 to 15% more channel partners every year. And India is now very, very like a diverse country. Earlier, majority of the sales used to come from the metros. Now the strategy has moved to target rural market, B cities, C cities. So there is purchasing power and how development, infrastructure development happening all across India. So we hope to grow this distribution network in the coming years.
Okay, okay. And further, like we know that Europe, Pratik and Global operating is independently. So how do you balance the channel strategy between the two brands?
So we work in the market with dual brand, Glorio and Euro Pratik. Both have their individual office, warehouse, sales team, distribution network is completely different. We compete with each other, but the channel and everything is completely separate. So we get better product awareness and better distribution when we are doing it with both the brands.
Okay, okay. Further, like we operate in a fixed asset light model with 36 plus contract manufacturers. So how do we mitigate the supply chain risk in such a diversified setup?
So most of our running products, we have more than 2-3 contract manufacturers. So we are not dependent on any single contract manufacturer. Also, I would like to add here is the designs, development, everything is done in-house. R&D and everything is done at our end, and we choose the contract manufacturer and we give them the designs and we just ask them to execute the designs and load the material to us. None of our contract manufacturers keep any inventory. They make the order once we give them the designs and the quantity from our end.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Shah from Investing Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon. So my first question is on the EBITDA margins. So EBITDA margins are expanded 40 to 43% this quarter versus 36.5% year over year last year. So how sustainable is this margin profile going forward?
So we want to remain in the bracket of around 40%, plus minus 2-3%. That's the endeavor of the company. And that has been consistent over the years. Last couple of years, you can see it has been consistent.
Okay, so 40% would be the area, right?
We hope to be on that track.
Okay. So the another question is, you acquired 51% in Euro Winner World in December 25. So what synergies have you unlocked so far, like particularly in South India?
I didn't understand your question.
So we have recently acquired 51% Euro Winner World in December 25. So what synergies have we unlocked so far in, you know, particular regions of South India?
Yeah, so synergy is like most of our business is currently B2B. Euro Winner World is more than 25-year-old company which is based out of South India, which are dealing with more than 2,000 architects, contractors in the southern part of the country. So it's a front-end retail, pure retail business where we have a better understanding of the market requirement, also the trends which are going on in the market. Also, we have been able to, our non-core products, we have been able to find a better supplier in terms of quality, designs at a better price for Euro Junior World. So we hope to grow that business based out of South India.
All right, sir. Thank you. That's it for myself. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshi Shah from HUF Capital. Please go ahead. Devanshi, you can go ahead. Sir, there's no response from the participants, and shall we move to the next question?
Yes.
Sure. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Jain from Arcane Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I just have a couple of questions. Starting off with what percentage of sales currently comes from repeat customers versus the new acquisition, and how do you see this mix evolving over the period of time? If you could shed some light on that.
So as I mentioned earlier, most of our business is B2B. India is a very diverse and a diverse country where we don't know when the goods are going to Punjab or who is buying it. So for us, the regular business is through our distributors, which are about 185 all over the country. Also, the designers, architects, they are well aware of the product, and they are using it maybe in small or big quantities as per their requirement.
Understood. Are there any acquisition opportunities that you are actively evaluating for 2026?
Sorry to interrupt you, Rajiv. Your voice is breaking.
I understood the question. Yeah, so acquisition, as I said, over the last 2 years, we have done several acquisitions, and we are looking at more opportunities. We are considering evaluating a lot of opportunities currently. Hopefully, we will have something in the coming months.
Also, lastly, with approximately 184,000 square feet of warehouse space across different cities that we have, so what is the utilization rate today, and do you see the need for further expansion?
So around 80% is the utilization as on today, and whenever we need more space, it is readily available. So there is no challenge in terms of expanding the warehousing space.
That's all from my side. Thank you for answering my question. Thank you. All the best for the future process.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Asim from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Good afternoon. So just one question on this new joint venture that you incorporated, Uply Decor. Can you talk about what the overall plan here is and how it fits in your overall Europathy ecosystem?
So, as I said, it's a retail chain where
Uply Decor, Hyderabad.
Yeah, the new one that you announced. Yeah, the Hyderabad venture with another gentleman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there we are planning to do some products for catering mainly South India, acrylics or Asa products. They have a proper warehouse. They are also a more than 20-year-old firm based out of Hyderabad, and with a dealer network of more than 1,000 dealers. So we have done a joint venture where we plan to do around 300-400 SKUs in the next 1 year.
So the
idea is our main strength, our core strength is sourcing and designing. which we bring to the table, we will try to encash their distribution network based out of their legacy, their distribution network, and that's how the joint venture is. We hope that it's win-win for both sides.
Okay, so but this other company has a different product profile. You guys have a different product profile, but you leverage the channel. That's the broad strategy, right? So you can expand more in that Andhra market or maybe the South market.
Yeah, exactly. That is what the plan is.
Okay. And any financial commitment for this joint venture, or is it too early days on that bit?
So we plan to start this by Q1 next year. We have put an upper limit of around 8 to 10 crores, but I think it would be done lesser than that. Initially, it should be around total investment should be around 2 crores from the company side, plus minus 10-15%.
Got it. Okay, thanks, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Devanshi Shah from SUS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, with partners spread across India, South Korea, China, the US and Europe, how do you ensure quality consistency across geographies?
So we have the KMP team is there of around 10 people. They regularly visit our contract manufacturers. Also, these most of the contract manufacturers have been associated with us for the top have been associated for more than 5-10 years. So there has been some consistency in terms of quality, designing and everything. So of late there has been absolutely no major issues in terms of quality and everything which we have been doing over the years.
Got it, sir. Also, you've launched 113 catalogs in the last 4 years, averaging to 2 per month. So how do you prevent product cannibalization across such a wide portfolio?
In terms of product cannibalization and new catalogs, it is the fast fashion model which we follow. So the generally the products which are being introduced in the market get obsolete over a period of time, maybe 15 to 18 to 20 months. And that's why we phased out the full catalog and we launched with the new catalog. Because the industry requirement is to give the new products to the industry. Architects, interior designers need new product every new and new fresh designs is the requirement of the industry. And that is in a way
is our strength also because of our in-house research and R&D team. We are able to provide that, and that is the real backbone or the intangible asset which the company has and which contributes in terms of the healthy gross margins.
Also, regarding product categories, which product categories are currently driving the highest growth momentum, say wall panels, laminates or others?
The wall panel and laminates, both if you see consistently are remaining into the same range, and in terms of the increased sales and turnover, this is contributing equally. Broad range is 65% contribution comes from the wall panel segment, and this has remained consistent over quarters, last 8 to 10 quarters if you see, this has remained constant. And laminates, again, we are not into the lower segment of the laminates. These are the premium high-end laminates which complement with the wall panels. And our intention is always to give the complete solution to the interior designer and the end customers. And that's why we both this complement with each other. And that is the strategy with which we are going forward.
Got it, sir. That answers my question. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Shah from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, I'm Rishikesh.
Yeah, hi. So just a clarification, is the 25% growth guidance for Q4, is it including acquisition or is it excluding acquisition?
It
Yeah, this would be on an overall basis. As Pratik rightly said that we are sourcing certain sales for our acquisition, for our acquired entity, Eurovegas World. So in terms of the consolidations, as per accounting standards, this inter-unit sales gets eliminated. So we, although we get the value-added margin, because it's a B2C model and we are a B2B model, so on an overall basis, there would be a growth of 25%.
Okay. Then if you remove Eurovegas and the base business itself, I don't think there is such high growth in that part of the business. It would be the same 14% growth for the 9 months that you might have done. So what is the reason? Is there some other thing also that is leading to lower growth?
So, as what Mr. Alpesh said, we do a lot of sourcing for the acquisition as well, including Glorio and now the Eurovegas World. So, you can say that these sales come in as the intercompany sales get eliminated. The sourcing is done directly from the supplier to the our acquired entity. So that is the reason that you can see that in organic there is a little bit of it in terms of sales, but it's more than made up with the acquisition sales.
Yes, I wanted to add one important point. Eurovegas World is providing me a good platform to connect to the retailers. So I understand their customer needs and demands, and I directly even procure the goods for Eurovegas World. So I am being selling the goods on the Eurovegas World platform, and technically that is my organic growth, because the basket needs to be increased. That was which we have reviewed over a period of time, and the way the company has grown historically also to increase the product basket, starting from a one product to three back, and now we are offering 20 products. So this Eurovegas platform provides us that opportunity, and that if we are introducing any new product for the Eurovegas platform, that in a way it's a organic growth. The beer what we are using is a platform of a Eurovegas.
Okay, understood. Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Mehra from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
And to clarify again on the same point, so last year your quarter four revenue was 73 crores, is that right?
Yeah.
If you assume that there is nothing in terms of the addition that you're doing in terms of M&A, what is the growth that you expect in Q4 on a standalone basis, not including M&A?
So in terms of the Q4, on an overall basis,
not overall basis, if you assume there is no M&A that you have done currently, 73 crores business should grow to what level by Q4?
So, I think it should be around 85. Also, when we sell to Eurovegas World, it gets
that is not the point. Point is on the standalone list.
So, Atul, my point is when we sell to them, it gets eliminated in the intercompany sales. So, hope you are understanding what I am trying to say. So,
what I am saying is, that is a second conversation. So, that is what I am saying. Assuming that you have not made the acquisition, what would be the growth that you have in your business?
Yeah, so obviously, if the acquisition wouldn't have been there and those sales would have been in Euro Pratik itself, so obviously then the growth in the company would be much higher.
And Atul, I wanted to add over here, what I have replied to the Hrithikesh also is that the Eurovegas World is providing me the platform. So any incremental sales in Eurovegas World through the effort of Europratik sales, again it's the sales which you can classify as organic sales for vis-a-vis Europratik, because I am using that particular platform, the product which we were not dealing in the past. And if I am procuring and using the Eurovegas platform to sell this particular product, so indirectly that's the organic growth. So what Pratik is trying to say on a strict parallel, if you ask me what is the one bucket of standalone Euro Pratik, there would be a one sales. There would be a second bucket where Euro Vineyard World platform is being used and the Euro Pratik is making an effort to increase the sales. Ultimately, that's the Euro Pratik sales of, because now it's a whole and on a consolidated basis. And then there is a third thing wherein the Euro Vineyard World is procuring the goods from the other suppliers and there is a sale. So these are the three different buckets. And on a consolidation basis, we are saying that okay, this would be a 25% growth. However, having said that, our strength lies into the designing, sourcing, and Euro Vineyard World strength lies in the marketing of the goods. So this is the clear understanding between the two parties that both the parties will work on that, and Euro Vineyard World, Euro Pratik sales will bring the additional products on the platform of Euro Vineyard World to expand the sales.
So basically, if you convert this into profit, right? So last year you did 14 crore of net profit, right? And you did about 17 crore of PBT. So given that you have these consolidation, inter segments, and so on and so forth, intercompany alignment. So on a bottom line, if you can suggest of how you would look at when it comes to people.
So as I said earlier, I think we should be on target to grow at 25%.
Top line or bottom line?
Hopefully both. Bottom line for sure. Top line, maybe a couple of percentage here and there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Ayushi Gupta for closing comments.
I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for their conference call today and also thank all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are MUFG Intime Private Limited, Investor Relation Advisors for Euro Pratik Sales Limited. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Euro Pratik Sales Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.